Today's share is Masechta Midos. We begin Masechta Midos. The subject of our Masechta is the measurement, Midos, as the word Midos means, the measurement of the Beis HaMikdash. And as Mefarshim explained, the reason why we learn Masechta Midos, even though unfortunately we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, one pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says that just like we learned, the pasuk says Zois Tyrus Oila, Kol Oisik the Parashas Oila. Whoever learned the Parashas Oila, Kilo Hikrav Oila, Kol Oisik the Tyrus Chatos, Kilo Hikrav Chatos. By learning the halachas of different kabbonis, it is as if we actually bring those kabbonis. The same is with the Beis Hamikdash, which unfortunately is not standing, but us learning about the Beis HaMikdash helps us as if we fulfill, as if we actually were building the Beis HaMikdash. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the halacha is that the Gemara throughout Shas mentions different issues regarding the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara throughout Shas speaks about the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. So in order to be familiar with these various issues that come up throughout Shas, we need to know the measurement of the Beis HaMikdash and about the kalim and the size of the Beis HaMikdash to understand those different gemaras that we're going to learn. Another pshat that I saw is that the halach is, just like we learned in Masechta Krisis, one may not make Shemen HaMishcha like the Shemen HaMishcha that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. One may not make Ketoris like the Ketoris that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, one may not make a house similar to the Beis HaMikdash. So by teaching us the exact dimensions and structure of the Beis HaMikdash, we know what we may not do in terms of building a construction similar to the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos takes a very different approach. And his approach is that the reason why we learn here about the Beis HaMikdash is because we need to know, Mitzvah Hashem, Mashiach will be coming shortly, and we need to know exactly how to build the Beis HaMikdash when Mashiach comes. The issue with the Rambam's Pshat, there are a number of issues. One issue is that there's a nevuah in Yecheskel, somewhat of a difficult of nevuah to understand all of the psukim there. But what the nevuah there says is the nevuah there speaks about the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, and it's apparent that the dimensions and the structure of the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi will be somewhat different than the structure of the previous Batei Mikdash. So how, by learning the halachas of this Beis HaMikdash, will we be able to know how to build the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi? So the Mefarshim answer that although it will be somewhat different, the basic structure will be the same. And by familiarizing ourselves with the structure of the previous Batei Mikdash, we can hopefully know how to build the third Beis HaMikdash. But then the Mefarshim asks that we know that the third Beis HaMikdash, the Medrash Tanchuma says, will come down already min Hashamayim, completely built. So why is there a need to know how to build the third Beis HaMikdash if that third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down completely ready min Hashamayim? So some say that the Rambam actually disagrees with that Medrash. And actually, it is the opinion of the Rambam that the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi will also have to be built. There are other Mefarshim that say that Emet Hashem, when Mashiach comes, there's going to be actually two stages. The first stage will be Kibbutz Golius, where the Golus will Emet Hashem end, and we will all go to Eretz Yisrael. At that point, we're going to be building a Beis HaMikdash, but that Beis HaMikdash will look like will be built by us. It's only after that Beis HaMikdash is built that when Tchias HaMeisim comes, that's when the Beis HaMikdash will come down min HaShemayim, and therefore it's only that Beis HaMikdash that we need to know that we do not need to build. But there will be Beis HaMikdash that we will actually need to build. Our Masechta begins not actually with speaking about the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but actually begins with speaking about the din of the Shemirah, of different guards that were on guard in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the din that there had to be Shomrim to the Beis HaMikdash is a din midaraisa. The pasuk says, V'choynu l'fnei Mishkan, Moshe v'Aaron uvonov, Shomrim mishmeres ha-kodesh l'mishmeres b'nei Yisrael. So the Torah speaks about Aaron and his children, which is a total of three Kohanim standing Shmira. And that's why, as our Mishnah will teach us, there were three Kohanim doing Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash. And then it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Levi, doing Shmira. Clearly from here it seems that the din of Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash was a din midaraisa. It seems from the Rambam that if the Shmira was not done, then if the Shmira is not done, then there's a chiyuv lav. There is a question that we're about to learn that the Levim did actually Shmira in 21 places in the Beis HaMikdash. If that din of the Shmira of the Levim in 21 places in the Beis HaMikdash, was that also a deraisa, or was that a derabbanan? Because the Torah only makes reference once to the Shmira of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says the Mishnah B'shloshim Mekoymes HaKahanim Shemir Beis HaMikdash. There were three places that the Kohanim did Shmira. And the Mepharshim discuss why was there a need for Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash. Because as Mepharshim say, it's difficult to explain that there was a need to do Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash because we're concerned of Ganovim. That isn't something that seems to be a concern. So some say that the Shmira was done to prevent Zorim from coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Others say that the Shmira was done to prevent Tmeim from coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Other Rishonim say that the Shmira that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was actually done for Kavod. It shows a sign of great respect when you have Shomrim standing on guard in a place. It shows that this is a very significant place. The Mepharshim also go on to another pshat is that we know that one may not have Hesach Hadas in the Beis HaMikdash, and that for the purpose of the Shmira of the Beis HaMikdash was actually to avoid Hesach Hadas. The Nafkamina between various pshatim point out from the Mepharshim is if the Shmira was done by night only or by day and by night as well. If we say it's for Tumah, for Hesach Hadas, then it should be done perhaps even by day or by night. Another pshat why they had Shmira is because by day they did the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, but by night, when they didn't do the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a concern that in the absence of, that there should be an absence of Kedusha, and that's why they had Shmira. Interestingly enough, Davni Nezer says that the chiyuv of Shmira in the Beis HaMikdash remains even b'zman hazeh. And it seems that the only reason that Avni Nezer holds that we don't do Shmira on the Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh is because we don't have the ability to enter the Beis HaMikdash with Temeim, and that's why Shmira is not done. But it could well be, suggests Avni Nezer, that the chiyuv Shmira is, a separate chiyuv, even if the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. The Makom HaMikdash requires a Shmira. It's probably connected to the different reasons we gave for Shmira. So one place that they did the Kohanim stood was on the base of Tinas, that we learned they were the people who made the Ketoris. The base of Tinas, according to most Mepharshim, was on the Dorim side of the Azara. But Beis HaNitzitz, I saw a number of pshatim why it's called Beis HaNitzitz. One is, as we're going to learn later in our shiur, that there was an achsadra, there was a lot of light opening up to that shar, so that's why it's called nitzitz. Another shar is that they kept a fire going there. Then in case the fire on the mizbeach got extinguished, they would bring fire from the Beis HaNitzitz. Another pshat is that there was a fire, a large fire that we're going to learn in the Beis HaMoikid. And next to the Beis HaMoikid was the Beis HaNitzitz, and therefore the sparks would fly from one to the other, and that's why they had the Beis HaNitzitz. Beis HaMoikid, which we'll describe later in our shir, was a large place where they had the main fire of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it was the fire that was used for the Mizbeach, whether it was the fire that was used to keep the Kohanim warm, who would walk around barefoot. Actually, as the Mefarshim explained, the Beis HaMikdash had two entrances. Our Mishnah says that there was only one Shomer to the Beis HaMikdash, because the two entrances were either next to each other, or either because they were, you could see from one through the other, so there was no reason to have two separate shomrim. The Levim stood shmira be'esrim ve'echad makom in 21 places. And the Ravid says that the Kohanim did not have the right to take that job away from the Levim. Even though the Kedusha of the Kohanim, we know, is greater than the Kedusha of the Levim, the Kohanim have no right to say that we want this position versus the Levim. Furthermore, it seems from the Rishonim that certainly there were more than just one Kohen or one Levi on guard to do the Shmira. It seems from the Rambam that every day there were 10 Kohanim and 10 Levim appointed to these various Shmira positions. According to other Rishonim, there might have been even more. So says the Mishnah, the Levim stood guard in 21 places. Chamisha al Chamisha Shari Harabais, five on the five gates of the Harabais. Arba al Arba Pinoisov, four different Shomrim on the four different corners, Mitoichai. As we know, the halacha is ein yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchei beis tavi b'lvad. One may not sit in the azara, but that halacha is only in the azara, not on the harabais. So therefore, in the azara, the levi in the harabais, the levim could stand guard inside the harabais. There is no problem with them being able to sit down during the night to do their shmira. However, as we're about to learn, in the Azara, where the Levim may not sit down, so therefore in the Azara they did shmira from the outside. Chamisha Chamisha Shari Azara, there were five more Levim standing by the five Shari Azara. And as the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta Tamid mentioned, there are actually seven Shari Azara, yet our Mishnah speaks about five. So the Gemara gave two terutzim. One terutz that the Gemara gave was that our Mishnah holds that there were actually only five sharim, not seven sharim. Another pshat is that there were seven sharim, but two of the sharim were near each other. So since two of the sharim were near each other, only five of them needed shmira, because you could accomplish the shmira of the all seven by having just five sharim. So again, says the Mishnah, Chamisha, Chamisha Shari Azara, five on the five Shari Azara. The Azara, the Mefarshim explained, is called the Azara because from the Azara, Klal Yisrael, from the Beis HaMikdash, had Yeshua, as we say every day, the Kafir Tehillim, Yishlach Ezracha Mikodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends all of our Ezra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us Yeshua, me, from the Azara, and therefore the Shmira on the Arba Pinoisav were Mibachutz, from the outside, because as we just said, we want to avoid sitting in the Azara if at all possible. Ba'achas l'lishkas ha'karbon. One other place was the lishkas ha'karbon. The Rosh gives two explanations what was done in the lishkas ha'karbon. Either, he says the Rosh, the lishkas ha'karbon is where they used to do the bedikah. They used to do the examination of the kabbonis that they weren't bali mum. Or another chat that the Rosh suggests is that after they did the bedikah of the kabbonis, they had to keep these animals in a special place, so that's where it was kept. Achas lishkas ha'praichas. They had a special lishka for the praichas. I saw two pshatim in that as well. One is, as we learned in the previous mesecta, that the praichas were very expensive, so they have to have a special shmira for the praichas. Another pshat is that the praichas, as we learned, was very large, and if the praichas would become tamei, it was very complicated to be mitar, to take the praichas to the mikvah. So they had a special shomer watching the praichas to make sure that the praichas did not become tamei, and they would have a difficulty in being mitar and taking it to the mikvah. And the last place was achel achur beis hakapayrus, one was behind the kodesh hakadoshim. We know that the Shekhinah was on top of the Kapiris, and therefore the place behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim is called the Beis HaKapiris. There's a machlokes why they needed to have a Shomer in that spot. Some explain that they had a Shomer in that spot because it's to show the Kedusha of that area. So it was shown by having a Shomer over there, showing how significant of an area it was. I saw other pshatim that at times, if there was an overflow of people in the Beis HaMikdash, they were allowed to do certain avodah behind even the Kodesh HaKadoshim in that open space. And because of that, they designated Shomrim to stand there. Says the Mishnah, Ishei Har Habayis Hayimachza Kol Mishmer Mishmer. The Mishnah says that there was a special person, a kohen, designated to supervise these shomrim. I saw it's a machlokes. Was it a special individual, or was it the skan kohen gadol? And he would walk around. Vavukos ha'imachzah kamishmer mishmer. He would walk around making sure that everybody was doing his job. Vavukos dolkim lefonov. Here too, I saw two pshatim. One shot that I saw was that they had people walking in front of him carrying torches. Another shot that I saw is not that they had people walking in front of him carrying torches, but rather there were torches hanging in the Beis HaMikdash compound that would give off illumination for the person walking. The Vavukas Dol in front of the Kamishma Shaina Oymit. And there's two pshatim how to understand what the Mishnah means here as well. One pshat is that as the supervisor approached, if the person standing guard did not get up, so the Ish HaRabayis would ask him, Shalom Alecha, why aren't you getting up? And if it was nicker, if it became obvious that he was sleeping. Another pshat is that as the Kohen, the Mamunah, walked by, it was the responsibility of the people to greet him, and if he wasn't greeted, it would be a sign that this person was probably sleeping, and that's why he didn't greet the Kohen Gadol. The Farshim asked, how could they greet each other? The halacha is, we learned from the Sefer Brachos, also lahagdim sholem kodem hatfilah, that one may not greet someone before he davened. So this was still before the tefillah, during the night. So how could they greet them? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that the issur of greeting is only before the zman tefillah comes. It was not yet the zman tefillah, so they were allowed to greet each other. Another pshat that I saw is that the issur of greeting is only when you go to someone's house with the express purpose of going to his house to greet him, which you may not do before tefillah. Here they weren't going to the house to greet anybody. they were meeting in the Shalom in the Beis HaMikdash. And furthermore, the Isser of Sheila Shalom, there was some sort of a process called Sheila Shalom. This is not called Sheila Shalom. This is just, this was just done, as we've been learning, to determine if this individual, if the Shomrim were or weren't sleeping on the job. The Mefarshim also asked that isn't it the halacha that one may not greet someone else at night when it's dark, because we need to be concerned that that person is a shade. So one Tarot says that since this was all taking place in the Beis HaMikdash compound, we need not be concerned that there are shadim in the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat is that since they were able to determine, they were able to see who each other were, then there is no issur of greeting someone at night. And a third pshat that I saw is that the entire concern is not in a place where there's illumination. And as we learned a moment ago, there was illumination there, davukos, so that concern doesn't exist. So if it was nikishu yashin, if it was clear that they were sleeping, choif de b'makloi, he would hit him with a stick. Rishus ha'yilai lisser of his ksusai. He even had permission to burn his coat. V'heim oimrim, and if they heard this commotion from the burning, they would ask, ma kol v'azara, what is this commotion? Kol ben Levi loika, it's the noise of ben Levi getting malchus, or the god of Nisrafim and his clothing are being burned, for shiyoshan alim mishmer, before he was sleeping. There's a machlaikis amongst the Rishonim, if the Kayan who was doing this supervisory job was only supervising the Levium, was he also supervising the Kahanim? Some Rishonim say that he only supervised the Levium, not the Kahanim. The wording in the Mishnah seems to indicate, because it says, Kol ben Levi. Another pshat is that they supervised both the Kahanim and the Levium, because we know that the Kahanim are also at times called Levium. They come from Shevet Levi. And a third pshat is that this person indeed supervised both the Kahanim and the Levium. But although he supervised both the Kahanim and the Levium, permission to give this punishment that we're discussing now in the Mishnah was only to the Levium, not to the Kahanim. The Farshim also go on to ask, that how was he allowed to burn the clothing of the Levium? Why is there no concern about Tashchis? So one shot that I saw is that there's never a concern about Tashchis when there's a purpose. Here there's clearly a purpose in doing what was done, because they were doing it in order to prevent, to make sure that they were doing their job properly. Another shot is Hefka, Besdin, Hefka. That the Besdin is the owner of everything, and they took away ownership of this, of these clothing, that it should not be considered the property of anybody, that there should be concern of Hefka, Besdin, Hefka. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Pam Achas, Motzus Achi, Ima Yoshen, they once found my mother's brother sleeping, the Sarfas Ksusa, and they indeed burned his clothing. And there's a question, what does the Mishnah mean by adding, bringing here what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov taught us? One shot that I saw is that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is just teaching us a Maisa Shahaya. Whenever the Mishnah teaches us, brings a story, an actual incident that happened, it's to strengthen. Another shot that I saw is that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that the author of our Mishnayis throughout Masechta Yuma is actually Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And a third pshat that I saw is that actually Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is arguing with the Tanakhama. Because the Tanakhama said that the Kohen had, the supervisor, had actually a right to choose either to hit the sleeping Shomer or burn his clothing. Says Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that you don't have two options. You only have one option. And the only, because we never give two punishments for one Aveira, and therefore the only option is to burn the clothing, no other option will give. Continues the Mishnah, Chamisha Sha'arim Ha'ilo L'Harabayis. There were five Sha'arim on the Harabayis. Shnei Shari Chulda. There were two Sha'arim of Chulda. Min Hadarim on the south side. Mishamshim Knesset Yetzia. They were the primary points of entry and exit to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mefarshim discuss why were these Sha'arim called Shari Chulda. One shot that I saw is that a Chulda is a weasel. A weasel is an animal that's found in the house. And what the Mishnah is teaching us, that this is the way that they entered the house, the primary entrance into the house. Another shot is that there was Chulda HaNaviyah. A Chulda Naviyah, being that she was a woman, was very concerned not to violate Yichud. So she stood, she sat at the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, where there was no concern that there would be any Yichud. Another pshat is, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hazinu kol yoshvei choled, that's why it's called Shari Chulda. Kipnis was min amarev, mishamish knisav yitzia. Why is it called Kipnis? One pshat is that Kipnis means Rosh in Greece, and the west side was the primary entryway to the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat is that Kipnis means a garden, and there was a rose garden at that point. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is that the person that the Beis HaMikdash is called Makif Nes. It was surrounded by Nisim, and since it was surrounded full of Nisim, so it's called Kipnis. And another pshat that I saw is that it's called Kipnis because the person who donated that gate was name was Kipnis. Teddy min atzofen lo hayim shamish klum. The teddy on the north side didn't have any purpose. Why was it called teddy? Again, here too, some suggest to the person who donated it, name was teddy. Another pshat is that teddy means that it didn't serve any purpose, because this was the gate that didn't really serve any purpose in the Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat is it was only used for people who became tamei to enter and exit, so it was kept very quiet. Another pshat is teddy means to sing, and this was where they would train the Levium how to sing. Another pshat is that, as we're going to learn, this entranceway actually it was either built as an arch or the top of it was bent, and therefore it looked like bowing, and the word teddy means to bow. Teddy min atzofen lo yimshamish klum. Shar ha-mizrachi, on the east side, there was a olav shushan habira tzura. There was a sign of the shushan habira. One, the Mefarshim gives two reasons why they made a Shushan Habira. One was that they should always remember that they were subservient to the Greek government, or to remember that the Beis HaMikdash that they built, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni that they were able to build, was only because they got permission from the government to build that Beis HaMikdash. There's a machloikis if the Shushan Habira was right on the Persian Empire, not the Greek Empire. There's a machloikis if it was right on top of the gate, or if it was in a room on top of the gate. Shabbat, through that east gate, Kohen Gadol Asarif as a Parah, the Kohen Gadol who burnt the Parah Aduma, the Kohen Sadeh, and all those that assisted the Kohen Gadol in burning the Parah Aduma, Yotzel Harmish, would go out to Har HaZeisim to do the Avoida of the Parah Aduma. Some of us should say that our Mishnah seems to be following the opinion that the avoida of the Kohen Gadol, the avoida of the Parah Aduma, was done strictly by the Kohen Gadol. Others say it's not a raya, because even though the halacha may be, the Tosfos Shanta says this pshat, even though the halacha may be that the avoida could be done by a different Kohen, typically the Kohanim Gadolim took the job for themselves. Continues the Mishnah, Shivish Sha'arim Hayu Bazara, there were seven gates to the Azara, Shalosh B'Tzofen, Shalosh B'Darim, V'Echad Mizrach. Three on the north, three on the south, and one on the Mizrach. Shebedarim, on the Darim side, there was the Shar HaDelek, through which they brought the fuel for the Eitzim and the other materials they needed to make on the Mizbeach. Sheni Loi Shar HaKarbon, the next gate was the Shar HaKarbon, through which they would bring the animals that were brought as Karbonis to the Mizbeach. Shlishi Loi Shar HaMayim, the third gate was the gate through which they brought the water on Sukkot from the Shiloyach for the Nisach HaMayim. Sheva Mizrach, on the Mizrach side there was the Shar Nikner. The Gemara teaches us in the Masechta the Yuma that there was someone whose name was actually Nikner, who donated these gates. They were being transported from Egypt, and when they were being transported by boat from Egypt, there was a terrible storm, and they threw one of the gates overboard, and then they wanted to throw the second gate overboard, and Nikner, who was the person that had donated them and was bringing them, said he refuses, they'll have to throw him off if they want to throw off that gate as well. And then when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, not only was the door that he had still with him on the boat there, but the other door miraculously was there with him under the boat that came out when they arrived. And therefore, even when they ultimately replaced all of the doors of the Beis HaMikdash with gold doors, these doors remained. There's another pshat that Nikner was an individual in the time of the Greeks who had caused great aggravation to Klal Yisrael, and ultimately when they prevailed, they were able to cut off his thumbs and they hung them by these gates. And interestingly enough, the Mepharshim say that his name was also Nikner, and maybe that's why it had the same name. So Mizrach Shar Nikner, Vishtei Lishkois Hayala, there were two chambers on the sides of the Shar Nikner, Achas Meminoiv, Achas Mesmoilon, one to the right and one to the left. Achas Lishkois Pichas Amalbush, one was for Pichas Amalbush, some say that's where they kept the Big Day Kuhuna, others say that's where they would dress the Kahanim. It really depends on what we discussed in our previous Masechta, that there was certainly part of the dressing of the Kohanim was done in the Lishkas Hagozes, so we need to know what was done in the Lishkas Hagozes and what was done in the Lishkas Pichas HaMalbush. V'echad Lishkas Oisach Havitim, we know that every day the Kohen Gadol would bring a Karban Mincha of 12 loaves, Machtzisa V'boikah, Machtzisa V'nabayin Abayin, half in the morning and half in the evening. And that was the chamber where these chavitim were prepared. It says the Mishnah v'shebetzofen, the gate on the north side was the Shar HaNitzitz that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. Uchmenes Sadra Haya, there was a pavilion in front of it to enter through that gate. V'liya b'nuya gabav, there was an upper story above it. Shekahanim shem m'mala, with the kahanim standing above it. V'levim m'matam and v'levim on bottom. Or Pesach Chayilah L'Chayil, and from there was an opening to the Chayil. The Chayil is the area in the Beis HaMikdash, which was the area between the Har HaBayis and the Azara. There might have even been a wall in that, a separate small wall in that area. Sheni Loi, the next gate there, was the Shar HaKarbon. And Shlishi Loi, and the third area, that was for the Kachay Kachim, because we know, as we've learned many times, Kachay Kedoshim, Shkutasim, Betzofim. So for Kabbalists that were Kachay Kachim, there was a special entrance on the north side to differentiate from the entrance that we spoke about earlier on the south side for Kabbalists that weren't Kachay Kachim. And Shlishi Loi, and the third gate was the Beis HaMikdash, was for the Beis HaMikdash, which we're about to discuss in the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Arba Lishkas Haiva Beis HaMikdash. There were four rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. Kiktoinis Psuchas L'Takrin. Like you have a large ballroom were different rooms opening up to that ballroom. Shtayim b'kodesh v'shtayim b'chol. Two of the rooms in the Beis HaMikdash were built in the Azara, and two of the rooms were built not in the Azara. V'rosh v'pispisim, and they had like beams, mavdilim bein kodesh l'chol, to separate between the area which was kodesh and the area which was chol, because we know that there are very different halachas, what may be done in the kodesh and what may be done in the chol. So they made this demarcation to know. Ma'ay m'shamshet, what were the different chambers there for? Ma'rovus d'aromus, hi'os alishkas t'loy carbon. That was where they had the animals that were separated, that had been previously examined, that could be used for carbon. The droimus m'rovus room was hi'os alishkas lechem aponim. That's where the lechem aponim was prepared. Mizrachus sefonis, bagonzu b'nei chashmenoi as avnei ha'mizbeach. That was the room that the chashmenoi put the stones in the Mizbeach, Sheshikza Malchiyot, that when the Greeks attacked the base of Migdash, they put the stones in that room. The reason they put the stones in that room was to serve as a reminder what the Greeks had done to our holy base HaMikdash. And there's a very interesting tshuva from Ramosha. The question that was asked to Ramosha was, after World War II, they discovered certain Sifrei Torah that had been desecrated and abused during the war. And the question that was asked to Ramosha is that we know that a Sefer Torah Shabbala, a Sefer Torah that's not usable anymore, Shlichus Geniza, has to be buried. The question that was asked to Ramosha was, instead of burying that Sefer Torah, could they take the Sefer Torah and put it in a museum for all to see and to remember the terrible atrocities that happened to the Jewish people and to our Torah? And Ramosha used this Mishnah as a raya that you may, because just like the stones of the Beis HaMikdash really ought to be buried, buried, yet Amishta says they weren't buried, they were put into Slishka, so too may the stones, may the Sefer Torah that was desecrated be put into the museum. He also discusses in that Shaila the issue that the halach is Haroi Sefer Torah Shemisrif. If one Chas V'Sham sees a Sefer Torah as it's burned, he has to tear Kriya. So why over here, why if you go to a museum and you see Rachman al-Islam, such as Sefer Torah, need you not tear Kriya? So Ramosha says that the Tehiyas Kriya is only as the Sefer Torah, Rachman al-Islam, is being burnt. Here the Sefer Torah was, when it's in the museum, it was already desecrated. It's not being currently desecrated, and therefore there's no Tehiyas Kriya. But Ramosha also goes on to discuss in a different tshuva how we have to be so careful with the stones of the Makom HaMikdash. And he discusses that there were people that wanted to chip off stone from the Beis HaMikdash from the Kaisel HaMaravi to take home as a souvenir. And he says certainly it's a terrible thing to do. He also, interestingly enough, mentions there that if everybody is going to take off a piece of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Kaisel HaMaravi, we won't have any Kaisel HaMaravi left. Tzvainis Maravis, the Tzvainis Maravis was the chamber where they would go by Yardim Lebeis Tefillah, that they would go down to the mikveh if somebody became tamei. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Sharim Hoylo Lebeis HaMikved, the Beis HaMikved had two gates, had two entrances, Echad Pesuch L'Cheil, one was to go into the Cheil, Echad Pesuch L'Azara, one to go into the Azara. Amar Yehuda, Zeh Shepsuach Lazara, Zeshaya Psuach Lazara, the one that are opening to the Azara, Pishpish Cotton Hayala, had a small entrance, Shaba Nichnasim Livus Azara. That's where they would enter when they would go in to inspect everything that would come in from there. I saw a nice pshat that it goes back to what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that they had a supervisor checking on the Shomer. And the supervisor, if he would come into the Azara through the main gate, everybody would hear him enter, and if somebody was sleeping on the job, he would wake up. So they purposely entered through a small gate that you couldn't, you didn't really hear when it opened and closed, that if somebody was sleeping, he would be caught. It says the Mishnah Beis HaMoikid keeper, there was a dome to the Beis HaMoikid. Others say there was built on a stone foundation. Or Beis Gavahaya, it was a large room. Mukuf Roivim Shalevin, there was, along the walls, there were ledges of stone. To Ziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham. At night, that's where the Zakenim of the Batei Av would sleep. There's a Machloikis. We know that every week there were 24 Mishmaris Kahuna that would rotate every week. And the Batei and the Mishmaris were divided into Batei Av. There's a Machloikis with Shoinim. If there were 6 Batei Av per Mishmar, or there were 7 Batei Av per Mishmar. And this, on these Roivim, we'll soon see they slept. Umachteches Azar B'yodam, they had the keys to the, they controlled the keys to the Azara. Upirchei Kuhuna Ish Kisoy Ba'aretz, that they would sleep on the floor. Who are the Pirchei Kuhuna? They're the young Kahanim. Some say it's Kahanim that are under the age of 20. Others say they're Kahanim who are 13, but did not yet bring Shtei Sa'aris. And some even say that they might have been Kahanim under the age of 13. They're called Pirchei Kahana, because Pirchei means just to blossom. The beards have hardly begun to grow. Nabshah's Pirchei means energy. They're still young and vigorous with energy. Another, why would a Kahanim sleeping on these stone slabs? Because the halacha is that for the covenant of the Beis HaMikdash, it's inappropriate that the Beis HaMikdash should be a place for sleeping. So the entire sleeping that took place should be done in the most most non-firm manner. And the way that's accomplished is by obviously sleeping on stone. And that's why, in fact, the Pesach can say there are people who have the minig that remain in shul the entire night of Yom Kippur. So the Pesach can say that they should, if even it's hard to stay up all night, but they shouldn't sleep in a comfortable fashion. They should just maybe just put their heads down on the table. Says the Mishnah further regarding this Beis HaMoikid. Umakum hayisham ama hamama. There was a place there that was an ama by ama. The tablet of shayis, there was a marble tile. The tabas hayisukvuba with a ring on it. The shalshalas shemavteches hayitlusba. And there was a keychain attached to this tile. Higiyas man hanila, when the time of closing the Azara came, higbias atabala b'tabas, they picked up this tile with that ring, v'nosnas mefteich meneshoshos, and they took off the keys from the keychain, v'nol akayim b'fnim, and the coin would close the Azara from inside the Azara, or ben levi yashnon v'chutz, and the ben levi would sleep on the outside. Gomim menol, when they finished closing, hechzer as hamafteich l'shoshos, they put the keys back on the chain, v'satavu mekoyma, and the tile back in its place, nosan ksus aleh, and he put his clothing on it, and yoshan loy, and that's how he would go to sleep. Says the Mishnah, ira teri me'etmehem, if one of the Kahanim had any mission as he was sleeping during the night in the Beis HaMoikid, v'yoytze v'hoylchav m'siva ha'lechtach sabira, he left through the tunnel that went under the Bira. There's always a question, what is the definition of a Bira? Does the Bira mean the entire Beis HaMikdash? Or does the Bira mean the special area in the Beis HaMikdash? V'aneiros darkos mikan mikan, and in that tunnel there were light candles burning, ach megila beis ha'tefillah, until he would get to the mikvah. V'lezim v'yakov amir masiba ha'elechas tachas l'chayel, after going to the mikvah, he would go through under a tunnel that went out of the chayil, and yotzva halchle b'tadi and leave. So it's Reb Lezer ben Yaakov's opinion that the kohen who became tamei had to leave the Beis HaMikdash compound because he was a tefil yoyin. The Tanakhama, however, holds that he could remain there, that he came back to the Beis HaMoikid, because since he was only a tefil yoyin, and this Tanakhama, say the Mefarshim, holds that a tefil yoyin isser to be in the Beis HaMikdash is only the Rabbanan. especially since he was already there previously, and therefore to avoid embarrassment, they allowed him to come back to the Beis HaMikdash. Hanulok b'shloish mekaymus, hanulok b'shloish mekaymus, hanulok b'shloish mekaymus. Says the Mishnah, Harabayas hoy chamish meis amah, chamish meis amah. The area of the Harabayas was 500 square amah. Rubim and Adorim. Most of it was in Adorim. So there's a number of pshatim and Rubim and Adorim. One pshat is that the largest area was on the Dorim side. Another pshat is that most of the lishkais, most of the chambers were on the Dorim side. And another pshat is that even though we have here the Harabayis being Chamish Meis Amma, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't exactly in the center of the Harabayis, but rather the Mishnah saying it was all, there was more empty space on the Dorim side. Sheniloi, the second place with the most space, was on the Mizrach side. Shlishiloi was on the Tzofin. Mi'uta, the smallest area, was on the Marav side. Makim Shai Roy Midasoi, and in the place where you had the most area, says the Mishnah, Shamayi Roy Tashmishai, that's where most of the activity in the Beis HaMikdash took place. Says the Mishnah, Kala Nechnosim L'Harabayis, whoever entered the Beis HaMikdash, Nechnosim Daruch Yamin, would come in from the right side. This is the halacha that we just discussed the other day. Kol pinos shatapina lehei ella liyamin. The yaitzin, and when they left, they would go out there small on the left side. Chut mimish erdover. Somebody, something bad that we're just about to speak about happened to, he would go on the left side. Why? One pshat is because yamin always represents rachmin. Small represents din. Or another pshat is, by him not walking in the normal fashion that everybody else walks, that would cause people to ask and recognize that something different was happening here, and it would cause them to have the conversation that we just learned. Shumak of small. These people would go on the left side, and then when they walked on the left side, which was not the normal way, they would be asked, Malach HaMakos Smol, why are you going on the left side? And he would answer Shani Ovel, and they would give him then the bracha, Hashaykh Mabayez Zeh Yenachemcha, Shani Menuda, or if he would say that I'm a Chayrim, so they would tell him a bracha, Hashaykh Mabayez Zeh Yitein Belibam Yikavucha, that they should take, the Chacham should take you out of the Chayrim. Divir Ameya. Amr Yeshua, a season kill over a love is a din. By saying this wording, it seems that they're saying that they maybe did the wrong thing, and they should, the Chacham did the wrong thing by putting into Chayim, they should regret what they did. Ella, the right wording is, you should do the right thing, that therefore the Chayim should be removed. Mepharshim explained that the machlokes between Rameya and the Chachamim, and Rameya Rabbi Yossi, is the according to Rameya, the fact that this person who wasn't Chayrim, isn't Chayrim, came to the Beis HaMikdash, is it should be enough of an indication that this person now wants to do the right thing, and therefore, immediately, he should be taken out of the Chayrim. Rabbi Yossi holds, just because we see that he is interested in doing the right thing, doesn't mean that Chachamim feel that he should be removed from the Chayrim. And therefore, he still maybe needs to do more, and that's why we gave him the bracha, do what you need to do, that v'yikarvucha, that you should become worthy to become close and be taken out of the chayim.